As our interest in your prayers, we look into the Word of God this morning. The message the Lord had put on my heart for today, I recognized this morning as I was getting around that it's really a second cousin to a message I brought just a few weeks ago on the Rumble Strip. Like that, it's entitled Lessons from the Edge. In January of this year, in Australia, there was an 11-year-old girl that plunged to her death from a cliff top. She had been walking along the edge of the cliff, and she slipped, and she fell. She lost her life. And that story is repeated over and over in the United States, all around the world, of people losing their life because they were walking too close to the edge. And I remember I was having some physical issues at that time as well. I remember I was walking with a cane. And I remember we went to the Grand Canyon. And I think some of my family was a little uncomfortable when I started getting close to the edge. Because what if your leg goes out from under you? What's going to happen? And there is something about human nature that thinks it won't happen to me. There's something about it that I'm in control. Everything's going to be okay. It won't happen to me. Do you know that when this little girl fell off that cliff, it was an accident? Accidents are not planned. Accidents happen, and many times they happen because of carelessness, or we think it won't happen to me. With young people, you get in your cars and you start acting crazy and going too fast and messing around and playing and weaving in and out. You think, I'm in control. It won't happen to me. There are a lot of accidents that have happened to young people that said it won't happen to me. But that's what an accident is. You didn't plan it. Well, if you look up, and you could even Google it, and I did, because I wanted to get, what does Google say? Living on the edge. Have y'all heard that term? Mm-hmm. Just living on the edge. This is what it says. To have a life with many dangers and risks. Mm-hmm. Just living on the edge. Having a life with danger and risk. And some people like to take risks. Some people like to live life on the edge. But this morning, it's not a safe place, is it? No. Living on the edge is not a safe place to live. And I'm interested in where we're living spiritually this morning. Yeah. I'm interested in, are we living spiritually? Are we living on the edge? We can say, I'm saved. And I'm ready to go, and I'm saved. But I'll tell you, when you're living on the edge, you're that much closer to losing your salvation than if you would just get in the center of God's will. Get in the center of your lane this morning. Because when you live on the edge, you're that much closer to the world. You're that much closer to the sin that the Lord delivered us from. Why would we want to live life on the edge spiritually? Why would we want to our approach and our decision-making be, what can I do and how much can I get away with and still be saved? Have you ever had that discussion with yourself? Well, it's not sin. I can do it and still be saved. That's a wrong discussion to be having. Yes, Lord. Because when you live on the edge, too many times people have lost their soul living on the edge. I would this morning, Lord, would inspire us and teach us. And I'm just going to bring out a few lessons from the edge this morning. And if it does nothing else, may it inspire you, your own thoughts of what it means to live on the edge. Over in the book of Ephesians in the 5th chapter, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 14, it said, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We are living in a very sleepy time. Yes. We're living in a drowsy time spiritually. We need to wake up this morning. I want to encourage us to wake up and recognize where we are spiritually. Recognize that the decisions and the choices that you are making this morning are going to have eternal impacts on your soul.
Yes, that's
true. So are you content and are you at peace with the choices that you've been making this morning? Or have you been seeing how much you can do and still keep your salvation? Living on the edge. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know what the will of the Lord is for your life this morning? Are we earnestly seeking God in every decision we're making? Are we seeking for God's will to be done? When we look at decisions of what's going on in our homes, are we asking God for His will to be accomplished? Or are we doing what we can get away with and still say we're saved? Living on the edge. Are we, when it comes time for job choices, when it comes time for where you're going to live, when it comes to how we are spending our time, are we coming to the Lord saying, Lord, I want to be in the center of your will? Because this is the reality. The Lord has, there is a center of His will. And this is where God wants us all the time. In everything that we do, in the choices we make, everything that touches our life, He wants us to be in the center of His will. But there is an area around that maybe this is sin out around here. This is the world out here. And we can say, well, I'm still saved. I'm not sinning. But I'll tell you what, isn't it a lot safer place to be right here than right here?
Yes.
You know, the world living in a time in a society, in churches, in bodies, I say that term loosely, in groups of people today, and I will say even right among God's people, there are too many that are living right here. They're saved. We'll acknowledge they're not sinning. They're not committing the moral violations that separate people from God. But I can't say they're in the center of God's will. You look at them, you kind of wonder, are they saved or not? You know, are they inside or outside of God's will? And sometimes people say, well, so-and-so is saved. It's like, well, I don't know. Not that I'm the judge to start. I'm not the judge. I'm thankful for that. But folks, this morning, the Lord wants us to be in the center.
Yes, amen.
The things that impact your life spiritually, are we in the center or are we seeing? Well, because when you're right here, you're getting really close to the world. You're going to start talking like the world. You're going to start looking like the world. You're going to start imbibing on the things of the world. That's not a safe place to be. That's a dangerous place. It's living on the edge spiritually. And the Lord wants us to come into the center of His will, because this is the reality. Living in the center of God's will is a place where there's greatest blessings. You want the Lord to bless your home this morning? Does anybody here want greater blessings in their home? I do. I want the Lord to bless my home. I want you parents to know something. We're going to have a little more to say about it. But the blessings in your home will not come by getting close to the world.
That's right.
The greatest blessings of life are going to be, Lord, I want my home to be in the center of your will. How we spend our time, what we listen to, what we look at, what we bring into our home, the way we conduct ourselves, the places we go. Lord, I want my home to be in the center of your will. And what the enemy is saying is, well, if you get closer to the world, everyone will have a little bit more fun. It's a dangerous place to be. The greatest joys that you can find in life are going to be found in the center of God's will. And if you do not believe me this morning, and you don't have to believe me, go try it. Prove it. Lay aside the things that you have justified in your life.
Yes. Yes.
That you can't say the Lord just puts His full stamp of approval, but you can't convince me it's sin if I do it. Are you willing to lay it aside and say, Lord, I'm going to try this. I want to get as close to you as I can. And I want you to bless me in a greater way. I want to get as far away from the world as I can. And I'm not talking about going and building Saintsville and not rubbing shoulders with the world. I'm talking about going out into the world, but being separate from it, just like Jesus prayed. Well, walk circumspectly. Be careful. Be watchful. Don't be unwise. Recognize the areas of danger. So, some lessons from the edge. This week I was out doing some yard work that had been long neglected. Didn't have the time and the wherewithal to do much with my yard this year, and it paid a price. It's going to take something to get back into shape. You know it'll take be the same thing spiritually? When you start neglecting your life spiritually, you may still be saved. It takes some time to get back. How much better to take care of it just on a daily basis. My greatest problem in my yard were the edges. The edges. Because it's the edges that got the greatest heat from the tarmac, from the sidewalk. And it, when the heat came, that heat went into that grass and it killed it off. And as some of the grass on the edge got killed, it left bare spots and it left room for Satan to come and sow his seeds. You understand what I'm talking about. It was on the edge that I have crabgrass. I don't have it in the center of my yard, but it's on the edge. It was the places where the heat, where's the heat in your life this morning? Where are the pressure points? Do you realize that that's the edge? Why would we want to live in those places? If you know something has been an issue for you spiritually, wouldn't it be better to get away from it?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be better to separate yourself from it than just try to think you can keep controlling it? Spiritually, hard times are going to come. But the better grass was away from the asphalt. This morning, spiritually, it's the same way. You get close to the Lord, and it's going to put some distance between you and the world. You get close to the Lord, it's going to put some distance between you and the world, and it's a lot better place to be. That's where the grass is greener. The grass is greener. It's more lush. It's more nourished. It's more watered because it's getting away from where the heat is. You know, we need to do that with God this morning. I wouldn't challenge us. But why is it so many people are settling on the edge of the world? Why is it? And you know what I would that each one of our answers to that would be? I'm really not sure. In other words, that would mean you're not doing it. I don't know why people do that. But my question is, are you doing that? If you've been settling real close to the world, and you're letting the values of the world dictate your time and your affections and your money, you are in a very dangerous place this morning, living on the edge. We won't take the time to read it, but one of the children's verse this morning, it said, remember Lot's wife. Yes. Genesis in the 13th chapter, in the 12th verse, you remember Abraham dwelt in tents? He dwelt in the land of Canaan. And do you remember where Lot pitched his tent? Where was it? It was towards Sodom. He didn't just move right in. He pitched his tent there. So in the morning came out as he was yawning and stretching in the morning. He was looking out towards Sodom. That evil place, that's not good. But the more he looked at it, the more he got acclimated to it, the more he got used. It became the norm in his life until he moved probably a little bit closer until eventually we find that's where he lived, isn't it?
Yep.
Do you realize because of that decision he lost his wife?
Yes.
I want the parents and the husbands and the wives to know something this morning. You may think that you can hold on to your salvation, but if you live on the edge, you are putting your family at risk.
Yes. Yes.
Living on the edge because I think I can handle it and I can stay safe. But you are exposing your children and your family to the things of this world when you start feeding on it. And before you know it, someone's going to have an accident. Don't pitch your tent toward Sodom this morning. Yes. Pitch it toward the Lord. Lord, I want to get as close to you as I can. I want to be like Christ. I want everything that I do, Lord, I want you to be able to put that stamp of holiness unto the Lord on it. The discussion that we can have this morning, you know, some of the hot button issues? You know what I mean when I say hot button issues? What are some of the hot button issues? Anybody want to help me out here? Are you afraid to say it?
Homosexuality.
Well, that might be a hot button when in our society. We know what the Lord says about that one, don't we? But what about some of the controversial issues that might arise among God's people?
Entertainment.
Yes. Is that not one? Some say, well, I can do this and it's fine. And others say, no, you shouldn't. And some say it's sin. And some say, no, it's not. And some say, well, okay. So entertainment. What else?
Food and drink.
Food and drink. All right. Food and drink. What about what you wear?
Absolutely.
What you wear, is it sin? Can you tell me I'm sinning if I wear this? Or can I do it and still be saved? Can I go to the ball games? The places like that, is that okay? What about skirt length? What's tight and what's not? What about trimming the hair? What about sleeve length? What about the music we listen to? What about what we watch? What can you watch, and what's okay and what's not? And what how far do I go, and what is trusting God for my physical health, and what is trusting in man, and what's the in-between? And the list goes on, doesn't it?
Yes.
Now here's the reality, saints. Everything is not black and white. Everything is not spelled out in the Scripture, and we need to be big enough and spiritually mature enough to acknowledge that.
Yes.
Because if we make a list of rules on the board, that's going to start turning into a creed for us, and we're going to teach you have to do this and you can't do that. And you say, why? Well, because the minister said it. I don't have a heaven to give to you. But here's my question. In the things that are not spelled out, in the things that we could debate about, which I have no interest in debating it, are we living close? Are we living on the edge? Or is our purpose saying, Lord, I want to get as close to you as I can? The Bible is not, there are some things that are not spelled out, but it takes a lot of honest assessment in our life to examine, why am I doing what I'm doing? What is motivating my decisions? What is motivating them? Many things that we can talk about are not an issue of sin and not sin. And I'm going to give you a really simple example. You may think, well, that's ridiculous. But it's a point of discussion, all right? So you could say, okay, what as far as dress is concerned, you could say, what is sin? Am I sinning if I wore my sleeves right here? Am I sinning? I hope not. Okay, what about up here? Can I wear a tank top? Is that all right? Or is that modest or not modest? See, isn't that the discussion? Because the Bible teaches modesty, doesn't it? That's black and white. The Scripture teaches modesty.
Yes.
So what goes on in between there?
Right.
You know, there's some places we're going to have some personal convictions and standards with the Lord that's going to have to go beyond, well, this is just what everybody does.
Yes.
But I want us to know something this morning. Whether it is that, or whether it is in issues of entertainment, or where we go, or what we listen to, are we living on the edge? At what point does modesty become immodesty? At what point? Is it here, 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 here? How far can I go before we're willing to say, okay, that is immodest, and immodesty is sin? Correct? Because it's a violation of Scripture. So who's supposed to draw the line? The Holy Spirit in your life. But the thing is this, if I'm always living on the edge, and I'm going to see how much, I want to be in a safe place this morning. I don't want to live on the edge, whether in how I dress, where I go, what I listen to, what I look at. You say, well, I can watch that, and you can't tell me it's sin to watch that movie. You can't tell me that's, okay, maybe I can't. But I want to ask you this, are you feeding something that's spiritual and good, and do you feel closer to God when you're done with it, or does it dull your senses spiritually? Do you have to begin to overlook a little thing and tell the children, well, now, you know, that's not real good. Why are we feeding our children something we say is not good for you? Because we're living on the edge, and I want us to know it's a dangerous place. And we wonder what's happening to our society. Too many are living on the edge, and the next generation is just flat over the line. And it's not that much different than what mom and dad were doing.
That's true.
I want to get as close to the center of God's will as I can. And they can say, this that I can see the Lord blessing right here. The Lord wants us to be example setters this morning. Not to set, not with dogma, not to have our own little creeds going on, but to get as close to God as we can and live in a safe place. In how we dress, what we look at, where we go, the attitudes we have, the things that there are people that start walking away from God, and it seems like there are certain things they start taking on real quick.
Yes.
They start changing how they dress. They start listening to stuff. They start feeding on a lot of movies of the world, and they start doing these things, and they'll try to get pull you in to an argument of why they're still saved, and it's okay to do that.
Yes.
I'm not interested in the argument. I'm interested in getting close to God. Am I living closer to God, or am I just on the edge? What happens when you're on the edge? It's where you're going to start getting some bearish spots, and the enemy is going to start sowing a seed. Amen?
Amen.
It is, what's humility and what's pride? You know, sometimes you say, there's a scale, isn't there? Pride is here, humility's here. Well, there's a whole lot in between pride and humility.
Yeah.
Where does the Lord want us to be? He wants us to walk humbly, doesn't he? So, but Lord, where am I? I'm on the edge of pride. Because see, pride is sin.
Yes.
But am I getting a little bit too... Okay, then Lord, help me to move over. Help me to get off the edge. Help me to get closer to you. The Lord gave us His Holy Spirit, saints, to guide us and lead us. And He'll be faithful to us. But the Holy Spirit is wanting us to get us, He's wanting to get us off the edge this morning because it's dangerous. Along the edge of my grass, and I'm going to have to get out a metal rake and tear it up. In one area, I have Bermuda grass and crab grass, and it's because it's my neighbors. My neighbors weren't taking care of their yard, and when it rains, the rain comes from their yard down into my yard, and so now I've got a swath of what I would say is their vile grass seed. And it's taken over a portion of my yard. Be careful. You live on the edge. You know it's the edge. You're going to be influenced. Who are you spending time with? Where are you feeding? You may say, well, I planted good seed. But I'll tell you, get close to the edge and you're going to be influenced by your neighbors. We mentioned Wednesday night, and I'll just say a little bit again here this morning. Social media and the movies that are out there, it doesn't take, and I'm not talking about the stuff you say, well, they're bad. I'm wondering, are they good? Is it good for you? There's too much feeding on the things of the world. There's too much feeding on the things of the world, and it's having a detrimental spiritual effect. And you can't tell me, I can't sit here, and I won't tell you that it's sin to do some of those things. Because I don't believe it is on some of it. I don't believe that you're saved this minute, and an hour later after you got done, you're not saved anymore. But I'll tell you what. You may probably or get closer to the edge. Influence. You see the neighbor's seed started coming into my life, and that's what life is. What we spend our time with, there are too many people that are bringing the world into their homes. And I want to challenge all of you this morning, don't bring the world into your home. Our children face enough of it out there. Why do I want to bring it into my home? Why would I want to bring a television in and babysit my children? Why would I want to bring in things that are stimulating their senses? And oftentimes, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You don't agree with me, just go pray for me, all right? Or pray for you, one or the other. Pray for both of us. But do you realize that one of the biggest entertainment in the industry companies is Disney, and it's one of the most liberal companies in the United States?
Yes.
They have an agenda.
Yes.
They have an agenda. And I'm not just speaking from a spiritual standpoint. They have an agenda. And it is, it brings it in. I would say it creeps in. It's more than creeping in a lot of their children productions, because they can get hold of the minds when they're young and pliable. As parents, we need to recognize that. Oh, it's just an innocent Walt Disney movie. It's fine. You know, occupies the children for a couple hours and gets them out of our hair. We better be really careful, saints, because we're going to start feeding them with stuff on the edge, and then they're like, why does this matter? What's the next step? What's the next step for the next generation? If I live it here, and my children live it here, then where's the edge? Should not our goal and purpose be, Lord, I want to get as close to you as I can? It's not about everybody else now, all right? So don't go home. You don't have to go home and be upset at Brother Michael. If you don't agree with anything I say this morning, agree with this. Get close to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Get as close to him as you can, but get off the edge. Why is it that when a child, a toddler, I don't have a swimming pool, but why is it if a little toddler is playing around a swimming pool, do you just let him go? I'll just let him go play around the pool. They'll be all right. Leave him alone. They'll make their own decision. No, God placed you in their life to help make that decision for them. Get away from the edge of the pool. And why is it? Because it's dangerous. Do you know the tragedies that have taken place of going out finding a small child laying face down floating in a pool? You know how horrible that is? Why would you let a child play around a pool? Play that can't swim, playing on the edge. You see, people try to justify the edge and say it doesn't matter spiritually. Yes. It matters this morning.
Yes.
No, it may not be sin, but it's dangerous.
Yes.
It's dangerous. Can we be wise enough to acknowledge that this morning?
Yes.
If there are things in your life that you have justified, and maybe is a little bit different even than what the body of Christ has done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I'll just leave that for you to decipher that one. Can you acknowledge that living on the edge is inherently more dangerous?
Yes.
Is that really the legacy we want to leave? Is that the pattern we want to set for our children this morning? It's a dangerous place to be. It's foolish to act as though departing from a high standard of carefulness doesn't matter. I don't have to live that carefully. You know what? You may not have to. And I don't appreciate when people get too dogmatic about some things either. It's like you're trying to say something's sin, and the Bible doesn't say it is, but I will say we have to live a holy life. And there are some things that there's a scale. Dress is one of them. Things that you can go and look at and listen to, there is a scale. It's not all black and white. It's sin or not sin. But let's learn some lessons from the edge.
Yes.
There's been a lot of people lost their soul because they started living on the edge, justifying and excusing, and they lost their carefulness. What about the edge of the herd? Where do lions and cheetahs, where do they hunt? Think they run into the center with the biggest and strongest wildebeest and buffalo? You know what they look for? They look for those on the edge. Something they can identify that's a little bit pulled off. They prey on the edge. I want you to know something this morning. Withdrawal from the body is very dangerous. Now, there's going to be times that someone in the congregation is going to hurt you, okay? It might be me. And if I have, I'm sorry. But the enemy is going to do everything he can to cause personalities and people and people issues.
Yes.
I had someone tell me this week that they left the saints. And what they told me was it wasn't as much what, it was who. Now, I think there was some what involved too. But the reality is some of it was who. I don't want the who's to cause me to get to the edge.
Yes.
Because that's where the enemy preys.
Yes.
One of the worst things that we can do is when you get hurt is to think, well, I'm going to pull away from the body.
Right.
The scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, is the manner of some is. We need one another, saints. And the enemy would like us to think, I'll just have this little independent, and no group is good enough, and I've got it all figured out, and this group isn't good enough, and that body's not good enough, and that fellowship, pretty soon I'm going it alone. And I want to tell you, when you get to the edge of the herd, the enemy's going to be there to prey on you, because when you are in a herd, there is power in togetherness. There is strength in unity. Lord, help us. They preferred lions and cheetahs and those kind of animals of prey to attack the weaker ones, the older ones, and the calves. Yeah. So what does a mother do with her little calf? She protects it. Mm-hmm. Wild animal comes in, that mama's going to get in the way. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you, she's going to try to drive them to the center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Get in amongst others of your kind where there's protection. It's very dangerous to get on the edge.
That's true.
Lord, help us to protect our young this morning. Amen. Lord, help us. What about the edge of the street? Another lesson from the edge. Anybody here have little children? You let them just go out and play on the edge of the road where the cars are coming by? Why not? Just let them make their own decision. I see some of you shaking your head. No, let them make their own decision. Don't force your will on them. Don't force your will on them. Let them make that decision. You're trying to impose yourself on them. Do you realize how many people use that argument?
Yes.
To let their young children do things that aren't good for them spiritually? Let them make their own decision. No. Parents, can I be real straight with you this morning? Your job is to guide and direct your children's life. There's going to come a time they're going to make their decision. And sometimes their decision will bring tears to you and they'll bring grief. But when they're in your home, it is not your job to cater to their immature desires and purposes. I'm going to give my children room to play on in the street? No. And they may come kicking and screaming, but I'm going to pick them up and I'm going to move them away from the edge. And they might not like me for it. Thank God for mean parents that won't let their children play on the edge of the street.
Yes.
Saints, do you realize where this applies spiritually?
Yes.
There are too many parents that are allowing their children and young people to dictate things in the home and how they live their lives. And they're living on the edge. And the Lord's saying, would you draw closer to me?
Yes.
We want to establish that this is a refuge. This is a place of security that I know that mom and dad, they're taking the responsibility seriously. And I may not like it, and I may resent it. And you know what it's like to have a resentful young person that doesn't like some of the standards and rules of the home? It's not always pleasant. But what's the alternative? What's the alternative? Yeah, go play in the road. Go ahead and get hit. I know what's going to happen. It's going to happen sooner than later. If it's going to happen later, I'd rather protect them at least for a while to help them have time to start mature until they can start recognizing, you know what, it's dangerous to go out there and play in the street. Mm. I want to stay away from the edge. When I'm walking in the road, last week we were out for a little walk, and I was like, here, get over here. How's my wife? She's a big girl. She doesn't, here, but here I am. I don't want her walking on the car side of the street. You know what I'm talking about? I wanted Vanessa and Renee to be on the other side, so if a car comes and isn't watching, they'll hit me and not them. Isn't that our job as men? We want to protect our families, don't we? I want to be on the car side. I grew up being taught that. If you didn't know that, men, now you know.
Yes.
Put them on the safe side. But here's the reality. Spiritually, it's our job. Spiritually, when the decisions come, what are we going to bring in our home? What are we going to look at, listen to? Where are we going to go? What kind of clothes are we going to wear? Where are the standards of our home? I don't want to live on the edge. I want to give a clear signal. And that's children say it's not sin. It's okay to agree with them. Yeah, you're right. It's not. But I know I'm safe here.
Yes.
I know this is careful here, and I know I'm safe, so I'm happy to stay right here, because the further you go, somewhere it's not safe, and it's a sliding scale. That's true. lessons from the edge. And I hope you all leave here and have a lot more lessons from the edge than what have been covered here this morning. So that means as parents, we have responsibility, don't we? Let's set a clear standard. And the scripture in Proverbs 19:18, I'll be done shortly. I heard a minister say that recently, and he said it over and over and over, and I kept wondering, when is he going to get done? I'm not going to do that to you. I do have a little bit I'd like to share before we close, but I will be done shortly. Proverbs 19:18, it said, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." Now, I hope you children love me, but you know what that means? It means when you get tired of your mom and dad getting on and disciplining you and correcting you, and you're resisting that, the scripture's telling your parents, don't get tired of your children's crying and bemoaning the fact that you just won't let them do what you want. He said, parents, take courage. Take courage, be strong, but do not give in to the pressures from your children.
Yes, amen.
I've seen pastors do it with their congregation too. Yeah. Pastors that have congregation want to go a different direction. Don't preach that. Don't teach that. We don't like that. And pretty soon, pastor caves, and you go back a couple years later and you wouldn't recognize the congregation. Because they started living on the edge and they fell off the cliff. Lord, help us to be watchful in our homes. There is a story that I've related. I grew up as a child hearing this from my pastor. So if you all hear me tell it again, you might hear me tell it again. There was a man that went out. A rich man was going to hire a chauffeur for his family. And he had about three or four people apply. And so he said, I'm going to give you a test. I want to be sure that you're capable. I want my family, my wife and children, to be in good hands. So he said, I want you to drive as close to the cliff edge as you can. I want to see if you're capable, see how close you can get. So one man got out there with his car, and he got real close to that edge. He was driving along this. The other guy's sitting there thinking, I can do better than that. I've got skills, see. So he got over there, and he got his tire just half off the edge of that cliff and rode along. Surely this is the man capable of getting the job. Third man said, I won't do it. So that's not safe. I'm not going to do it. He got the job. Because the edge is dangerous. Spiritually, let's not see how close we can get. You see, what this is about, pleasing the Lord. This is about experiencing the joy of the Lord, the blessings of God. It's not found on the edge. What are we passing on to our children? One more little illustration. I remember hearing a number of years ago. There was a boy that every night he'd fall out of bed. His mom would be downstairs, and he'd have his bed upstairs, and every night, thump, and he fell out of bed. Night after night, he fell out of bed. And finally, one night, there was no thump. And his mom said, Johnny, what happened? You didn't fall out of bed last night. And he said, Mom, he said, I moved over. You get it? I moved over. If you live on the edge, you're setting yourself up for an accident. We need to move over and be in a safe and a secure place spiritually. It's not all about sin and not sin, saints. There are some things that are gray areas. It's not all black and white. But with modesty, with entertainment, with attitudes, with pride, humility, with all, there's a scale in here. I want to get away from the edge and live in the center of God's will.
Yes, thank you, Lord.